You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government has indicated
The Wire.
Already in October 2010, Maori health organizations raised concerns about the shocking toll tobacco use has in their communities. They found that overall people were smoking less, but more and more Maori and Pacific people were smoking. As a response, the New Zealand government developed the smoke-free Aotearoa 2025 action plan. The plan features three radical interventions. One, called the smoke-free generation, will make it illegal to sell tobacco products to those born in 2009 or later. The goal is to create an ever-growing generation that never picks up the smoking habit. Together with two other policies, reducing nicotine content in tobacco to below addictive levels and less retail outlets selling tobacco, tobacco use would virtually end. There are two issues, vapes and inequities. Daily smoking rates are in general at an all-time low, but remain high for Maori. 34 of Maori teens aged 14 and 15 year vape regularly, and the statistics are even higher for Maori girls at this age, with 40% vaping regularly. I spoke with Andrew Wa about these issues.
I really support it. I think that it goes a long way towards the Maori vision, which is completely tobacco free, nicotine free. It's pretty much, you know, a lot of the measures in this bill, legislation, is what's needed to address inequities. So rather than leaving it up to the individual to decide or not and get, you know, be subject to all the whims of markets and addiction and all that, is it takes, the government takes responsibility for that. So getting rid of the nicotine is a huge measure. And the other ones, the smoke free generation and reducing retail, are really important to is supporting that one as well. So I think it's really, really important. Yeah, I totally support it.
Should there be done more, or is this, is it good how the plan looks like?
I think it could have been done quicker. I mean, we can always do more. I think things like making sure we've got really good mass media to support people when it's coming through, to help people who, you know, who not everybody wants to use these cessation services or products, but make sure that those who need it can. So, because it will be a bit stressful, will be stressful for them. We are concerned about the rise of vaping, especially among our Māori youth, and so it's really exploded. So I think we need to really get a handle on that, because I guess smoking is an issue for our generation, and we're dealing with it, but what we're going to leave is a legacy of nicotine addiction through vaping, and we've got to address that. So for young Māori, their vaping rate's up around 20% daily, and so that sort of level of addiction we haven't seen since the early to mid 2000s, so it's horrendous. And a lot, if not most, I think, are never smokers. So these people are taking it up, and they're really, you know, the targets of these products. So that's where our concerns, we've got to get on top of that.
Yeah, and with targets, you mean that it's young people are specifically targeted with marketing to use
vapes? Yeah, the vaping, you know, these regulations that come in that tries to reduce it, but the products are designed to appeal to young people, the flavors. Yes, because most smokers, they don't need all the flavors that are out there. You know, the flavors appeal to young people. It's just like Alka Pops, though, for young people. So it's, you know, it's targeted. So I think it's really important to recognize what a success, I think, this new legislation is, but also making sure that, you know, we don't just say, well, that we've done it. We've got to, you know, there's nothing more to do here, but that we've got this new wave of addiction.
Yeah, true. With the vapes, like, I feel that's more now the problem with kids and young people.
Oh,
is that, yeah. Is the vape problem taken into account enough now by the plan?
There's clauses in the legislation, and there's currently, the government's currently consulting on tightening up the regulations around vaping, which I think is really important, but we don't think it goes quite far enough. You know, in my opinion, the only people that should get vapes are those cigarette people who can't quit nicotine entirely and need to switch. We know that, you know, that for, like, say, the tobacco industry, you know, in most, you know, countries, they must be able to see that smoking is a sunset industry. And so, you know, there's been some tobacco companies say, well, we're phasing out of smoking and going into vapes. But to make that sort of market sustainable, they've got to get new vapors. So they have to get young people into the stuff. And so we do see, we do agree that it's the issue for young people. And if you talk to young people, they say, well, hardly anybody smokes. Everybody vapes, and it's so easy, and it's so easy to hide. It's easy to get the stuff, all those sorts of things. The big issue there, and we've seen through the states since coming to New Zealand as well, and I mentioned other areas, is disposable vapes. They're easy to get hold of, but also young people are quite innovative as well. And I can see the appeal of, you know, being able to pull something to bits, muck around with it, soup it up a bit, put it back together. And, you know, and so there's all these sort of appeals which we've just got to get on top of.
The daily smoking rates in general are lower and lower, but they remain high for Maori people. So my question is, why are smoking rates among Maori people and Pacific people still higher compared to non-Maori people?
Well, I think there's some similarities. It's often to do, you know, I think it's often to do with socioeconomic status. So you know, income and stuff does affect the choices that you can make. So if you want to quit, all the sort of exposure you have. So that's one part of the story. But even within each, you know, socioeconomic band, Māori and Pacific are more likely to smoke. So there's other stuff going on there. And often we call them fundamental causes. So the things that sort of sit behind why Māori can have low income, things like colonization and racism and all those sorts of things, all those isms. So that's probably a reason why it's much, much higher. And that's also a reason why things, you know, like smoking is one of the forefront of health issues for Māori, because it affects us so much. A Māori woman have, and I think they still do, have some of the highest smoking lung cancer rates in the world, which isn't something you want to be proud of. And so a lot of smokers in general don't want to smoke, and they support these measures, and particularly those people who've been trying to quit.
And for the fundamental causes, you named racism.
Yeah.
In what way does that racism play a role?
There's lots of different ways it plays out. So we've got, I've got colleagues in our research team who've done a lot more research in this space than me, but you might have institutional racism, so the way that our institutions work to discriminate. So it might be that all our services happen to be in an area, like an urban area, where we've got a lot of Māori and rural populations that can't access those services. It might be the way those services are delivered. Sometimes it's experience of just being exposed to racism. Our research just suggests that people who, people who experience racism, Māori experience racism, are more likely to have a gut quitting, but less likely to quit. So it's a lot of those sort of pervasive effects. You know, it sort of wears you down mentally, but also affects your access to resources and stuff like that.
That was my question also, to what extent does this Smoke-Free 2025 plan really reduce those inequities?
One study that I was involved with, especially the very low nicotine cigarettes. So you can imagine taking the nicotine out of cigarettes to the point where you just can't get addicted to them. So it means a young person, no matter how hard they try, if they wanted to, remember the main barrier to you know, getting addicted for young person is or the harshness of the cigarette. So no matter how much they tried to get smoking, they would never get addicted to a cigarette. And then a person who smokes, obviously addiction has a lot of components, but the key one is the fact that nicotine is highly addictive. If you take that out of it, then there's no reason people will continue using it. So our modelling suggests that pretty much within a few years, the prevalence rates drop off the cliff. It just dives really sharply.
That was Associate Professor Andrew Waugh, public health researcher at the University of Otago.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.